KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy here in Atlantic and 20 degrees. We look for it to be partly sunny by this afternoon, a high around 42. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In the news, a Harlan man charged with sexual exploitation by a school employee and assault with intent to commit sexual abuse has agreed to plead guilty to a reduced charge of assault. 73-year-old Lee Gordon Nelson, a former contractor with the Harlan Community School District, entered his plea Wednesday in Shelby County District Court and will serve 45 days in jail. District Court Judge James Heckerman said Wednesday the parties involved in the case had reached an agreement where the original charges were dropped and Nelson will not be allowed to have any contact with a minor unless with a family member. He must also have no contact with the victim in the case or her family and may not be allowed on the Harlan Community School District's grounds or at school functions. All restrictions were placed for a 2-year term. During his trial that was held on Tuesday, the victim, who was in her late teens at the time the incidents occurred, took the stand and testified that from between October of 2012 and February of 2013, Nelson held her hand, played footsie, and touched her thigh throughout private lessons held at the school district, on band trips, and at Nelson's home. Following the state's case on Tuesday, defense attorney Dave Richter motioned for acquittal, saying the state failed to show evidence of sexual exploitation, and the contract signed by Nelson to the Harlan Community School District was for an independent contractor, not a school district employee. Before a verdict on the acquittal could be made by the judge, a plea agreement was reached between the parties. If the terms of the agreement are violated, Nelson would have to serve a total of 180 days in jail. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, the City of Atlantic will save more than $209,000 through the use of a change order with Precision Concrete Services of Atlantic, or PCS, for 2014 street improvement projects. City Administrator Doug Harris reported the good news to the City Council during their meeting Wednesday evening.
The original cost estimate was $755,000. What he found is that since we've done so many projects, a lot of the intersections are done, so that eliminates 60 feet that we have to do. We've already done most all the curb ramps, which knocks off another 20%. So the change order now comes to $545,857.60.
Because the city saved money through a change order, it will be able to have work done on all of 17th Street, from the west side of Redwood Drive all the way to the track and soccer field, instead of just from Redwood to an east dead end. But because the added portion of 17th Street was not included in the PCS contract, it will need to go through the design process with construction to begin at a later date. In other business, the council tabled action on a resolution accepting public improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. Doug Harris said he spoke with a representative of Hawkins Construction, which has agreed to pay the city for costs for problems associated with the improper compaction of fill materials beneath the plant's new blower building.
They've agreed they'll pay us the $32,000 they owe us for the expenses that we incurred relative to the blower building for engineering services. In exchange, I've agreed that we won't assess them liquidated damages for the fact that the project was supposed to get done last November. It didn't, because of the blower building. We're not really out any money. Everything's gone really well. It's working well. They've completed the improvements on the blower building. They did a good job. I'm satisfied with that.
The council will act on approving the final payment for the project at its meeting on March the 12th. Well, the temperature is expected to be near 60 during the coming week, and most of the snow on the ground already melted. Atlantic residents might not be too concerned about shoveling snow from their sidewalks in a timely fashion, but with Mother Nature being unpredictable, there's still a chance we could see measurable snowfall. Atlantic City Administrator Doug Harris warned Wednesday that his assistant, John Lund, will no longer send out warning notices to residents who have not shoveled their walks within 72 hours of the end of a snowstorm.
In the past, when he got a complaint after 72 hours, he would notify the property owner by certified mail. You have to give him a couple days to get it removed, and then he'd go out and inspect and see if it's done, and then if it's not, then he would contact, of course, our crews to go out and remove it. The ordinance doesn't require them to send a notice, So we're just trying to educate people, let them know now that if you don't do it within 72 hours, we don't send notice. We just send the crews out and clear the sidewalks. And then the property owner is billed for the cost of the labor and the equipment. And if they don't pay it, then an assessment is placed on the property.
They especially want to focus on the sidewalks around the schools in Atlantic. Now, this spring and summer, the focus will shift, of course, to tall grass on residential lawns. Harris said the city will still send out notices if the grass or weeds are more than 12 inches high, but the city could consider lowering that to 8 inches, taking into account the time it takes the crews to mow violators' lawns if the notice is not obeyed. In other business, Harris told the Atlantic City Council Wednesday that his office has received requests and inquiries regarding private sewer lines. He says there is currently no policy pertaining to private ownership of the sewer lines, but it's something that he and Wastewater Treatment Plant Superintendent Mark Ferrier have looked at and created a draft proposal the council can review and possibly forward recommendations to the Community Development Committee.
It doesn't take care of the lateral from the line to their house, but if we take care of all the other collector system for other customers, we're sort of treating them differently. Obviously, we don't want to accept one that it's problematic and be very expensive to the city, but in some ways it's better knowing it's being maintained and properly put in so we can maintain that line and reduces problems down the road. It has been requested, so I think Mark and Lieutenant said, you know, if we do accept it, we really need some guidelines. We shouldn't just accept any private line. And under what circumstances and how does that need to be constructed? So he's gone that. I made some changes to it. Thought I would bring it up to the council. So, and this doesn't say you have to accept it, but if you do accept it, then we need to kind of set what the requirements are going to be.
There are several sporadic private lines already around town, including one near the old Cherry Corner building off of East 7th Street. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Wednesday adopted the fiscal year 2015 budget following a public hearing during which there were no written or spoken comments. The budget amounts to slightly more than $20,188,000, which is a decrease from the re-estimated fiscal year 2013-2014 budget of $20.9 million. Auditor Dale Sunderman said the budget was lower because the amount the county takes in from taxes is less than last year. The proposed tax rate is $5.68 per $1,000 of evaluation or valuation for urban areas and $10.16 per valuation for the rural areas. Last year, the respective rate was $5.63 and $10.17. Sunderman said the levy rate is the same, but the taxes will still go up because of the increase in valuation.
The valuation went up from total for the county. And, of course, the rural services is based only on the rural. So the valuations went up total for the county on property tax alone, went up from $709,506,335 to $765,261,110, which means that if you use the same levy times the total value, then it increases the taxes. So your levy rate stays the same, but the assessed taxes goes up because the same levy times a higher valuation yields more dollars as tax.
And Sunderman said there was also a rollback on residential properties.
Equalization determines what's called the 100% value. And then before taxation, the taxable valuation is determined then by a rollback. Well, this year, the rollback for residential property was the 54.4% of the assessed value. And that's an increase in valuation because last year the rollback was to 52.8166%.
For agricultural property, the rollback was 43.3997%. Last year that rollback was 59.9334%.
So essentially the agricultural value went down, so it shifts some of the taxes equating to residential property.
The Iowa Department of Revenue determines the rollback amount. Sunderman said this was also the first year in a long time there has been a rollback in commercial, industrial, and railroad property. The rollback was 95%, whereas it is normally 100% for those properties. The amount of taxes in the general basic fund derived from property taxes is expected to be a little more than $2.678 million. In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors voted to approve a schedule of salaries for elected officials, which was less than the County Compensation Board had recommended. The board had recommended a 3.5% increase for the recorder, treasurer, auditor, and supervisors, and a 7% increase for the county attorney and sheriff. Supervisor Gaylord Schelling made a motion to lower those percentages.
I recommend that you reduce this to 3 and to 6.
Okay, so the reduce the recommended salary increase for each officer by 1/7.
And in world news headlines today, the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment benefits is at its lowest level in 3 months. It dropped 26,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 323,000 as layoffs remain at pre-recession levels. Economists are watching the numbers ahead of the February jobs report being released on Friday. Cold weather and snowstorms appear to have limited hiring in January and December. The White House is imposing visa restrictions on Russians and Crimeans it says are, quote, threatening the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. President Obama has also signed an executive order authorizing sanctions against anyone responsible for activities undermining democratic processes or institutions in Ukraine. Next week, the Senate could introduce legislation that would place hard-hitting sanctions on Russia for having its troops take over the Crimean region of the Ukraine. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements, Marguerite Marge Eblen, age 89, of Greenfield, died Friday in Stewart. Funeral services for Marge Eblen will be today at 10:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Marcella Claire McCleary, age 84, of Dexter, died Friday. Memorial services for Marcella McCleary will be today at 11 o'clock at the Penn Center United Methodist Church in rural Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Courtney Johnston, age 27, of Dexter and formerly of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Courtney Johnston will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield, with the Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. Christine Madsen, age 88, of Earlham, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Christine Madsen will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Audrey Maxine Carroll, age 87, of Avoca, died Tuesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Audrey Carroll will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca, with the Pauli Jones Funeral Home of Avoca in charge of arrangements. Kenneth Hinson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Saturday in Omaha. Memorial services for Kenneth Hinson will be on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. And Kate Marie Griffith of Audubon, the infant daughter of Andy and Heather Griffith, died Tuesday at Methodist Women's Hospital in Omaha. A private family service for Kate Marie Griffith is planned. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.